Everybody say amen. Everybody here, listen to me. Everybody here saved? Anybody here saved? Right, we're saved, but listen to me. Saving is giving our life to Christ, but guess what? There's a such thing as working our salvation out in fear and trembling. It's a such thing as connecting and growing in God. It's a such thing as getting to know Him. Because salvation is not a one and done thing, right? It's a working towards seeing Him and knowing Him, right? So I say that even though we are saved, our salvation can kind of be like cluttered with other things. You hear what I'm saying? We can become, the Bible talks about in many parables, but it talks about a tree that don't bring forth fruit is good for nothing. It can be cast out, right? Right? And so if we get that a tree that don't bring forth fruit is no good, why did Jesus bring that up? We're going to go, and then you might say, where's the connection with Psalm 2? Well, Psalm 1 talks about what you'll do if you do the right thing, if you stay in God's presence, right? You'll be blessed, and you'll bring forth fruit. And then and it talks about, but if you be in the congregation of the unrighteous, you won't, right? Okay, we get it real simple. Psalm 2 is going to talk about the mindset of the nations, right? And that's what we're going to do. Why is it important to know the mindset of the nations, right? It's because we are in the world. Remember in God's word when Jesus prayed, and I believe it was John 17, and He said, God, I pray that You, Father, keep them in the world, but take them out of the world, but make them a light in the world. You hear what I'm saying? So you might say, what is He saying? He said, put them in the world that they may shine and be bright, that they may reflect Me. But keep them away from the world that their mind don't be like the world's mind. Because if they're like the world's mind, they're going to live like the world. The problem if they live like the world is that they're going to miss Me. They're going to miss Me. And we're going to go into Psalm 2, but we're going to dive in all around the scriptures because the Psalms is just a shadow of things to come. So we're going to hop right into Psalm 2. It says, why do the nations conspire and the people plot in vain, right? It says the kings of the earth rise up, rulers band together against the Lord and against His anointed. They say, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. So it says that the nations come together and they come against God and His anointed. You might say, well, how is the nations coming together against God? I'm going to simply ask you, do anybody remember there used to be prayer in school? All right. So you know why there's not prayer in school? Talk to me. Why is there not prayer in school?
So, the nations come and they conspire against the Lord's anointed.
Right. That's a simple answer. But tell me why. People don't want to hear about God. Why? Because if you talk about God, then I might feel bad about some things in my life. Right. Yeah. So when we talk about God, there's a such thing called accountability that you keep your God to yourself. Because if you talk to me about God, some of the things like, I could just say it because we grown in here, the kids downstairs, right? So there's some things called like fornication. There's some things called adultery, homosexuality, all these things. And I can go into many more, but these things are like worldly things, right? We do these things, but if we put God in the equation, I feel convicted and wrong. And so can you keep your God to yourself? Because you know what? Don't judge me. You know what I'm saying? Don't talk to me about that kind of stuff. Because if you talk to me about that kind of stuff, I got to think about it. But the reason why Jesus said take them out of the world, but keep them in the world that they might shine is because there is a thing going on that the devil does with all of us. He put distractions and things in our life to make us ineffective. I'm going to go all around the scriptures again. I told you we're in Psalm 2, but I want you to understand something, that there is a real enemy in the world. In the world, right? There's the government of the world, which is ran by the principalities and powers, which is ultimately the devil, right? So there's the world, there's the devil, there's the evil spirits in that realm, and then there's God on the other side saying, come to Me, come to Me, come to Me. Yield to Me, yield to Me, yield to Me. So a fourth of the influence, but which is the greater influence, because understand this, you're never at a disadvantage because God created it all for His glory, right? Amen. But we're gonna go right back. Let me get through Psalm 2, and we're gonna go into where we are, right? It says, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. Verse 4, the one enthroned in the heavens, he laughs, and the Lord scorns at them, and he rebukes them in his anger, and he terrifies them with his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain, and I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said unto me, you are my son, today I have become your father. After me, and I will give you the nations for an inheritance, to the ends of the earth as your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron, and you will dash them into pieces like pottery. So what's going on right here? We look at the Father talking about Jesus, the Son. And he said that he would give Jesus, the Son, the nations for his inheritance. What's important in this life? The question is, what is important in this life, and what is he talking about right now? Jesus said, I will give you the nations for your inheritance. What is he talking about? People. What is the most important thing in this life? To God. Souls. Jesus came what? To save what? Did he come for things? No, he came for souls. He came for you. He said, to the Son, I will give you the nations for inheritance. See, I want you to, the great distraction is things, right? But the most important thing in this life is souls, right? Hear what I'm telling you. And I want you to let it sink deep, because we're going to go somewhere with this. The nations talk about things. Jesus came. I'm going to skip around the scripture because I want to talk to you. Remember when Jesus had a conversation with Peter after Peter denied him? And he said, Peter, do you love me? And he said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Remember that? So what was Jesus talking about? Was Jesus talking about Peter? Or was he talking about what he put Peter here to do? So what was important in that concept? He was saying, if you love me, I want you to take care of my people. Right. What is it about my people that's important? Because that's what's important. People. Jesus came for souls. The great distraction in this life is things. Right? And we're going to get into it. Why did the Ephesians heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing to get rid of God and all of these things? Why is the nations against God? Because God, his thing is affecting people. But the way of the world is do you. The way of the devil is exalt himself to be like God, do him. You hear what I'm saying? Do him. What is the greatest sin? Pride. What is side? It's all about me. I'm God. I do me. How many people say, mind your business, I'm going to do me? You're repeating what the devil said. It's a mindset. No, I'm not going to do me. I'm going to do God. Now hear what I'm saying. Because it's important that we don't miss out that there's something going on that always is asking for our attention. God is asking for our attention. The world is asking for our attention. Our flesh is asking for our attention. And the spiritual realm is asking for our attention. If you are not aware that the spiritual realm, I'm talking about the evil realm, is asking for your attention, if you're not aware, it's only because it already has your attention. Listen, if you're not aware that your flesh is asking for your attention, it's because it already has your attention. If you're not aware that the devil is asking for your attention, it's because he has your attention. So you might say, how is it, brother, that you could say that? Because if God got your attention, you would be aware that all these other things is asking for your attention. For example, if I'm sitting with Sean having a conversation and Mike talks to me, am I now aware that Mike is talking to me? I'm like, Mike, I'm in a conversation with Sean. Why are you talking to me? You see what I'm saying? But if I'm not really focused on Sean and Mike talks to me, or Hilton talks to me, or anybody talks to me, I'm not really aware because I'm not really focused on anywhere. You understand what I'm saying? So it's easy for me to go any which way. But if I'm having a direct conversation with Sean, anybody else calling my attention, I'm like, yo, stop bothering me. You understand what I'm saying? Some of us are visual learners, but we got to see that when my mind is on God and everything else is calling for me, because we got all these influences calling for us, that we got to be careful that we don't give ourselves to these things. This is why the Bible talks about loving the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul, and spirit, and strength. But why did he go all these different ways? Because, and I want to give you a big example about money, and he talked about the love of money. And why that's important. Not money. Not money is the root of all evil, but the love of money. But real quick, it's because money is like the world system. Because, see, the great distraction is get this thing. Get this thing that's going to take your attention. Why is loving the Lord with all my heart important? And why did he break it down in different categories? Because I can love God with my heart, but if I'm loving... But if I got my strength, hear what I'm saying. If I got my physical ability, I love God, but I'm working every day. Am I effective for the kingdom? Probably not. Because I don't got time to devote to God. I can love God, and hear what I'm saying. My heart is my passion. I love God, but I have no time to do his work. So I'm effective. I'm ineffective. That's why it's the different categories of loving God with my strength, which is my what I do, with my mind, which is my affections, with my heart, and then with my soul. See, all these things are different categories that is tugging at me, but not, I can be entrenched in God in one area, not in another. So I got to be plugged in every area, because if I'm distracted in other areas, somewhere I'm being rendered ineffective. See, some of us can say, I got to pray, right? And everything tug at you, Instagram, Facebook, and a conversation, and I miss praying to God. I miss getting in the secret place. What does that do? It renders me ineffective, because if God is not talking to me, I cannot do his will. Because how can you know what to do if you don't know what to do? You know what I'm saying? It's real simple, right? Unless somebody is giving you instructions on where to go. For example, if I told you to meet me at 7th and Arch and you don't know how to get there, then you need instructions, right? So if God is saying, I want you to be in my perfect will at 7th and Arch, Maurice, go there, and I don't know how to get there, then I need God to direct me there. But if I'm not in God's presence and he's not directing me, there's no way for me to just get there. And so there, I got to set aside time to hear God's voice for God to direct me there. And the thing about it is sometimes we don't realize that we are caught up. All these Jeopardy, Family Feud, or the lottery, all these things is about instant gratification, right? We don't realize why it's in the world like that. All these things that you can have. They say the average American household has about $16,000 in credit card debt. This is not mortgage, this is not anything. We talk about this credit card debt. Why is that? Because we like things. You gotta understand the things aspect is the world aspect. And the world aspect is focused on everything that don't matter. Because if I ask you, what can you make in this life and take to the next? Can anybody answer that? What can you make in this life and take to the next? Think about it real quick. What can you take in this life and take to the next? Anybody, y'all can holler out whatever, it's all good. Because it's for a reflection, we gotta know. So it is something that God has given us. We can have children, and if we sow the seed, praise God, they can go to the next. But it's nothing tangible in this life. Nothing tangible that we can take. So what is important in this life? Think about that. What is really important in this life then? If I was given one day, God said, 24 hours, I'm taking you home. What is important right now that would be important 24 hours from now that would actually matter, that matters to me at this very moment? A lot of the things that matter at this very moment won't matter anymore. It's keeping everything into perspective. Because what I believe, if any of us were given 24 hours, all of a sudden God would now become important. More important, you hear what I'm saying? Why? Because I got to see him face to face. And what bothers some is, God, did I do what you wanted me to do? God, do I got anything that you're proud of? And the thing about it is, he grants us every day grace to start again, to get in his presence. But let me go back to Psalm 2, because it says, I'm at verse 7. It says, I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said unto me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. And I will make the nations for your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with the rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore the kings Be wise and be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss the Son, or he will be angry. And your way will lead to destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are those who take refuge in him. May God bless the reading of his word. What is he saying? God is saying everybody that's in any kind of power, everybody that got anything, fear the Lord. That's the first of all. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. That's talking about bowing and reverence. That means submitting to God. Because if you don't submit to God, that's what we're talking about. You were saved, but are you submitting to God? Because if you don't submit to God, then you're rendered useless, and you are of nothing to his kingdom. Because it's all about kingdom building, you guys, not personal building. Because either he's God or we're God. Either he's God or we're God. Meaning that either he comes first or I come first. All that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They are not of the Father. What is love? What is the pride of life, and how does it work in the life of a believer? Pride of life is, I come first. Sometimes you can see that manifest. What does that look like? I want you to understand what pride is. Pride is, it could be like this. I could be an offended person. That's pride, too. Because understand this. If I'm constantly submitted to God, I'm worried about what God thinks. Not what I think. So does God matter or do I matter? Remember Elijah when he got offended at Mount Carmel, he ran? You know what? He got in the feelings and he said, God, I did all this for you. And Jezebel's looking for me. He got offended and ran. And God dealt with Elijah in the mountain. And I just want to show you that he's human, right? He's human. We are all human. But what pride does, it causes us to do what? Run from God. Because we feel offended. So we run from God, and Elijah, it said the mountain roared and all of these things, the guy in a still small voice began to tell Elijah, you're not by yourself, Elijah. I got you. I got a remnant. And so what was that important? Why is that important in the life of a believer? Because and even when Satan tempted Jesus, when he came to Jesus with the three temptations, he dealt with these things. Pride. What did you come here, Jesus? Are you the Son of God? Cast yourself from the mountain. Didn't a psalm say he'll give his angels charge over thee? Why? What is Satan doing? He's appealing to what Jesus knows. He's saying, oh, you know this, go do this. This is the thing about pride, right? It messes with us on the inside, our ego. And what God tells us is to be humble before him. Because it's the strength and the humility. He said, when you're weak, then you're strong. Not when you're strong, then you're strong. Because you're relying on your strength to keep you. God said, no. Be humbled in my sight because it's your humility that I'm going to clothe you with my strength. Pastor Sean talked about the peace of God ruling in your heart. The Bible says don't be anxious for nothing. Listen, it's the things of this life that grab our distractions and the things that take place where our heart become entrenched in these things and then we become ineffective in God's kingdom, because they grab our attention. But it's when we become submitted to God, kiss the Son, fear God, kiss the Son, submit to him lest he be angry. What is this saying? This is saying get on your knees, get in reverence to God, fear God more than anything, because he's the only one that matters. Get in his presence. Lust of the flesh. It could be addictions, right? It could be sex, it could be food, it could be anything that I want. It could be just those things that are not that bad, but I make it overwhelmingly, it takes so much of my life. So it could be bad, or it could not be bad, but it becomes overwhelming. I could have an obsession. For me, one of my things I'll tell you sometimes, I look at sports equipment and it could, like, I can work out sometimes overly, like, and it's just like it just takes my time. What is it doing? It's making me ineffective because the more I spend feeding myself, whatever appetite it is, we all got the flesh. You hear me? We all got the flesh. The flesh affects us all. Don't anybody here is so spiritual you ain't dealing with the flesh, the world, and the spiritual realm. Listen, I'm talking to me too. I'm saying, listen, we got to understand these things ask for our time. Right? And so when these things are calling, I mean, the only way to break free of the chains of these things is kiss the Son. lest he be angry, lest it takes my time and render me ineffective, because that can only be a light on the hill that cannot be hid when I'm being used for his kingdom, not when I'm doing me, right? Lust of the eyes is the desire for possessions. The world says if you have, you will be successful. Even they use scriptures to manipulate the word. They tell you some people believe prosperity and God is gaining things. Even Paul and Jesus preached these things. And that's what I wanted to go, because some of us believe that possessions, that if I do the right thing for God, he will bless me. And what we read already today was the inheritance that he's talking about is the spiritual inheritance in heaven. But he did say, you will lack nothing. He said, don't worry about your clothes you put on. If you don't worry about your clothes you put on, then don't worry about it. Hear what I'm saying? He won't tell you, I'm going to bless you with clothes if you worry about clothes. He said, I will provide for you. You're not going to lack anything. But don't let your focus be these things. Why? Because if you understand that they don't really matter. Remember the rich young ruler. Jesus gave a parable and he said that he did all of these things and then he died and he went to hell. He was in Abraham's bosom. I'm just going to you because you understand. These are the riches of the kingdom. And Jesus said that he was asking for a drop of water. And then Jesus began to talk to him and he said, well, you know, can you give me a drop of water? No, I can't get it. Then he said, can you send somebody to talk to my brothers about the kingdom? He said, there's prophets. They're not going to listen. And then he said, what is it for a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What can a man give in exchange for a soul? What can a man give in exchange for? What can we give in exchange for our soul? Nothing. See, but people get contracts for music, right? You ever heard selling your soul to the devil? All of us heard it before. But no, people do give away their soul. People do it in corporate world. People do it in music. People do it in the everyday world. For the sake of climbing up the ladder, they give away their soul. They become ineffective in God's kingdom because they want it to be about them. That's the world system. The problem with the world system is it sends you to hell. Salvation is just not a one and done. It is one and done in that Jesus died for you and he loved you before you ever sinned. But be effective in God's kingdom, because if you are rendered ineffective, the question is, are you really his? Matthew 24, many shall say in that day, Lord, Lord, but shall not enter the kingdom. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. He said, I never knew you. They said, I've done many works in your name. He said, I don't know you. You don't know me. Why would God say you don't know me? Because if you knew me, you know what my passion is. So how can you know somebody but you don't know what they like or dislike? I'm going to tell you how. It's because you're listening to everybody else and what that person likes and don't like, but you didn't hear it from that person. Some of our relationships are superficial with God. Like, we listen to what the preacher on TV say. We listen to even what the preacher here say, but we don't get in the secret place and ask God to show us what God wants. You know what I mean? And when you don't know God for yourself, Jesus said, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew. Jesus said, he didn't say you didn't go to church. He said, I don't know you. See, and that's about a personal relationship. All of this thing that we do every day. Listen, don't get it twisted. Going to church is great. Loving God's people is great. But you better know him. Amen. Because that's the most important thing. That's the most important thing. You guys, in Romans it talks about be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you do that? Through God's word. Through the Holy Spirit convicting us, telling us, hey, get on board. He said, if you love the world, then you'll be a friend to the world. He said, but if the world hates you, know that it hated me. What is Jesus talking about, hating the world? What is he talking about? He's saying, listen, he didn't say you won't have friends. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about that if you do everything like everybody else, everybody fine with you, but you won't bring light to me. What I need you to do, I need you to stand out for me. I need you to, at your workplace, talk about me and what I've done for you. If I blessed you, tell somebody I blessed you. If somebody is telling you they're hurting, don't say it'll get better and don't pray for them. Say, I know a Jesus that can do something. You mind if I pray for you? He's saying step out of your comfort zone, because this is what the Bible says. He said, if you be ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father and the angels. Can you imagine going before God and God playing before you a script of your life? And he give you opportunities to where you could have shared the gospel. And then he said, you help me here. Angels, you see that? Father, you see that? You could have said something right here, but you didn't want to offend anybody. I want to talk about, so a lot of reasons why we don't share the gospel is because we don't want to offend anybody. But I want you to think about this. So I'm outside. I see somebody getting robbed, right? Around the corner from here. I see somebody getting robbed. And I come this way, and I see you. And I know somebody just got robbed. I'm running from over there. And you ask me, what am I running for? And I tell you, I don't know. It's a sunny day. I'm just taking a jog. And you go around the corner, and you get robbed. And you say, did you know that they was robbing somebody around the corner? And I said, yeah, I didn't know that they were robbing somebody around the corner. And you look at me with offense and say, why didn't you tell me? And I said, I would have told you, but I didn't want to offend you. Like, I really didn't know it was dangerous around there. But I didn't tell you because I didn't think you would believe me. And if you're that person that got victimized, you're going to look at me and say, you never cared about me. You never really did care about me, because if you cared about my safety, you would have told me, even if you thought I wasn't going to believe you. That's what hell is to everybody else. It's way worse than that, because it's an eternal state. It's not like going to jail for 6 years. We look at that, if we didn't tell somebody they went to jail for 6 years, that would be intense. But if somebody go to hell, that's for eternity, and that's intense. And that might not even just be a coworker. That could be a family member. Like, we really know, but we just don't feel like dealing with the drama, right? You hear what I'm saying? But God said, listen, if you don't want to deal with the drama, you might be okay with them, but you're not going to be okay with me. See, because you got to choose a side. Kiss the son lest he be angry. Listen, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The people imagine they're gonna prosper. The devil imagine, hear what I'm, because their king is the devil. What did the devil say? I'm going to be like God. I'm going to do me. That's what the world said. The world is all about pride. The world is about the establishment of things. But understand this in this life, the great deception is that you get something that you can keep. What can you keep? Nothing. That's the trick. You can keep nothing. You come in this earth and you live and you take nothing with you. I promise you this, with your earthly possessions, I promise you this, when you die, somebody else is going through your stuff. I promise you. Hear what I'm saying. It might offend you, but this is the actual truth. Listen to me. As private as you might be and you don't like people going in your pockets, if you die, somebody's going in your pockets. Listen, this is the truth. Praise team. But you guys, why am I saying this? It's just because it's important for us to keep everything into perspective. That the nations, the people, the world system, everything that is attacking or asking for our position, even when we are seeking to glorify God, sometimes we look at things and, God, if I just did these things, I'll be more effective. God said, no, get in my presence and you will be more effective. Because nobody can add more time to your life but God. Nobody can maximize your life but God. You can't maximize your life. There's nothing in this life that we can do to make God want to save us or make us. See, when we were yet sin, he died for us. When we were sinners, he died for us. So it's nothing we can do to make God more happy, more pleased, more willing to die, right? It's just about us kissing the Son. It's about us submitting to God, doing our reasonable service. He said, be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. What is just reasonable service? Die unto ourself. What does die unto myself mean? It means that he comes first. It means that his people become more important. He said, when the disciples asked, who is greatest among us? Can we sit on your right and left hand? And he said, He that is chief servant is the greatest. He served. What was he saying? Don't look for status. Don't look to be great. Look to bless. Because it's when you become a blessing that I bless you. It's when you, he said, if you save your life, you'll lose it. He said, if you try to get, you're going to lose. So hear what I'm saying. But if you give it up, you're going to gain. It's not the way of the world. It's the way of God. The way of God is lose your mind for me, and I will give you my mind. Don't grab for things, because our affection for things will cause us to be distracted. It will render us ineffective because we don't want to get in the way of what we're aiming for. If there's a job, if there's a person, if there's a thing that becomes more important to God, those things are idols in our lives. And God said that he would have no other God before him. The world, flesh, the spiritual realm. My brothers and sisters, if I had 10 minutes to live, I'm talking about me, I understand that I would go through in my mind like, what did I do for God? I know you would, because we don't spend this much time in church and don't think about that. And I've lost some friends and family members and people that I know, and I always think about where they spend eternity. I do. I think about that. And then I think about my interaction with them. I do. I think about that. Some people I'm a little upset with because I feel like I could have done more. Probably like, you know, okay, if they know I'm saved, but did I give them what I could have gave them? You know, did I share with them what I could have shared with them? Because honestly, a lot of people say pay your respects. Oh, I can go and see you when you're in the casket, but that don't matter. What matters is where you spend eternity. What matters is where you are. And again, remember this. In this life, what could you take into eternity with you? It's nothing I have on me that I could take in eternity with me. Hear what I'm telling you. But what I couldn't do, I can sow into God's kingdom. I can love y'all. That'll be fruit for the kingdom. I can love the lost. That could be fruit to the kingdom. I can raise my children up to know God and they can be saved. That's fruit for the kingdom. But all these natural things of the flesh, of the pride of life and of lust of the eyes, they don't matter. They render me ineffective. If I listen to the world system and I say, if I win the lottery and I go play it every day to gain great wealth, and I say, well, then I'll give it to God. Well, all that time is lost. You hear what I'm telling you? And the devil toyed with me. And what I'm trying to tell you is, when we're children of the Most High, when we are sons and daughters of God, he cares about how we spend our life. He cares about what our focuses are. He cares about what we care about. And many times in our lives, some people say, why did God not move for me? Why did God not bless me? Sometimes God is patient with us because he knows that the very things we desire in our mind, they're greater than he is. And that if we get those things, they will become more important. And we will compromise those things for our relationship. Everything that we desire must come after him. That's why he said, seek him, his kingdom, and his righteousness. And then he said, all of these things. Psalm 1 is about what God will do for you. But God, Psalm 2 is about the nations and what God is saying. And you plot together against me to get rid of me. Listen, I'm laughing at you because you can't get rid of me. I created it all. Even though it's the system I created. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Even we ourselves can get caught up in this whole system. You want to be blessed? You want to be favored? You want to lack nothing? Paul said, whether I have or don't have, I learn to be content. Godliness with contentment is great riches. What does that mean? That I live for God, and that in every situation I am, I know He got me. That's why I don't worry about anything, because I have everything. I have Him, so I have everything. When one thing Jesus taught His disciples, He said, when they went out preaching two by two, He said, I want you to go. Don't take no extra money with you. Don't take no extra clothes. Whatever way you go, He said, I want you to bless that house. But if they don't let you in, He said, then wipe the dust off your feet. What He was showing was kingdom principles. He said, listen, you got me, you got everything. Hear what I'm saying? You got me, you got everything. You know why? Because when I give you favor, people will give you without you asking. They will meet your needs because I am in control. Don't doubt God. Believe. The very faith that we say we have, trust Him with. Trust God. Brothers and sisters, in this very time, I would ask you that if anything I said today has touched anywhere in you, made you reevaluate yourself and our relationship, our passions, our desires, our lives. Some of us say we look to God for direction. We're not sure which way to go, but we know that we want to please Him. I would ask that you would just pray this simple prayer with me, that God would just take control of our members, that we would yield our mind, our heart, our soul, our affections toward Him, and that He would maximize the time He gave us. Because we don't know, nobody knows how much time we got left. And it's not guaranteed. The Bible says this appointed man wants to die and then the judgment. We got to give account for our lives. We ain't just living just to live and that's it. As believers, we know we got to stand before God one day to give account. So I would ask that we would just pray this prayer. If you hear me, just let's pray. Holy Spirit, I ask you, renew me. Renew my covenant with you. Renew my commitment to you. Renew my mind, Lord. Renew my heart. Help me to desire you more, that you would be the apple of my eye and the center of my affection. Help me work in your kingdom, Lord. Help me to love you and your people. Forgive me for my sin, Lord. Forgive me for hurting you. Help me to kiss you, Lord. Help me to serve you, Lord. Help me to please you in this life, that I may be with you in the next, that my name would be written in the book of life, and that your spirit may reign in my temple every day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.